He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the August 2nd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. As we begin a new week, we've got the Dow back above 35,000 for now. That closed, I think, Thursday, Wednesday, a couple of days above it. Then we lost it on Friday. Well, we've regained it for now. We're up 145 on the Dow. We were up over 200. We're at 35,080, and it looks like mostly the kind of reflation stocks that are moving the market here today. As the tech lags a little bit, NASDAQ is up 27 points. The NASDAQ is at 14,703, ended on a soft note on Friday. Russell 2000 up 27. There's your star of the day. Small cap stocks up 26 points, 2252 on the Russell 2K. S&P is up 0.3%. That puts the S&P at 4,409 for now. Crude oil starting off the week on a down note, down 99 cents, $72.96. Gold's down 650 to 1810. Silver down 16 cents to 25.39. And we've got the 10-year yield sitting at 2.22 to begin the new week. And last but not least, wow, Bitcoin's taking it on the chin today. It had conquered 40,000 there last week after dipping below 30 for a while. It's down 1,700 today to 39,750. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, portfolio manager of Southport Capital, 21-year veteran of managing money, doing radio, watching the markets, etc. So hopefully I've got something to say worthwhile. Again, today, Monday, August the 2nd, I'm definitely going to give an update on this earnings season. If you got my newsletter over the weekend, you saw the headline. It's a smasher. This earnings season definitely smashing estimates. And the forecast for this quarter and the following quarter, this full year, the next full year, the year after that, have gone up considerably. Since this earnings season began about 3 weeks ago. So that's really critical. That's really, really critical because at the end of the day, it comes back to those aggregate earnings of the S&P 500. Now, there were some definite misses so far. Amazon whiffed on their earnings. I think you're seeing a little bit of a lag into today's market. It hit the market on Friday. Amazon, which had a huge boost from COVID, they were in the right place at the right time and benefited wildly from the shutdowns and the lockdowns and the mask wearing and the COVID-19. Well, it's finally starting to lose a little bit of that sugar high, but I think the long term of Amazon is just fine. And, in fact, if anything, you probably got a nice buying opportunity to at least consider here on Amazon. Facebook was a big miss. Yeah, you know what? I'm not too worried about Facebook. It's an earnings growth giant. As we enter into the metaverse, metaverse. We'll be talking a little bit about that one today. There's even a new ETF out there that focuses on the metaverse where Facebook resides. A few other disappointments, you know, but for the most part, 88% of the companies in the S&P 500 have that have reported earnings have beat not only their earnings estimates, but also their revenue estimates and the growth numbers for this quarter versus the numbers that were originally anticipated have gone up considerably. I would say one of the better earnings reports, oh, one more that kind of missed and lagged last week was PayPal, PYPL, and I see Square made a purchase over the weekend, which may hurt PayPal a little bit, give Square a little bit of a competitive advantage there in some ways over PayPal. And I would say that, for me, the best earnings report so far from that S&P 500 was AMD. AMD just really knocked it out of the park. There is talk of stagflation once again. That's where you have slow growth and inflation along with it. That's kind of what we have right now in a way, because we did have the GDP come in at 6.5%, which was well shy of the 8% estimate. Now, that's not slow growth, but we're still on that sugar high, you know, versus the COVID quarters. And eventually we're going to settle into GDP, which would be not impacted by COVID. And who knows, we may settle into sub 2% GDP here real soon. And you put that alongside of the inflation numbers we're getting right now, which some say are transitory, others say not. But if the inflation persists and the GDP continues to slow down, which is what the yield curve is suggesting here, the talk of stagflation, and I think that will be the watchword between now and the end of the year. Everybody, markets always nervous about something. Look, we got to start the week in the markets with something to worry about. We got to start every day in the market with something to worry about. I would say that the two biggest worries in the market as we begin a new week is this as good as it gets? Is the sugar high from the pandemic wearing off? And will we settle into slow growth? That would not be good for the Biden administration, obviously. And will inflation persist, or will it be transitory like the Fed says? Because if it's not, we could be in a stagflation type of situation. That's one of the big worries of the market. And the other big worry of the market is valuation. We hit a forward PE of almost 23 again. It would be 23 were it not for the earnings estimates being revised upwards for the coming quarters and coming years. That drove the forward PE back down to like 22.3, something like that. But that is still very high on a relative basis. It's high. You know, the 10-year average is more in the 16 to 17 range. We're at 22.3. But we're also in an unprecedented period of time with the Fed keeping interest rates where they have been keeping them. And that is allowing for this multiple expansion and for the multiple to remain high, extraordinarily high, when you look at past years and the history and the track record of those multiples. We got another big earnings week this week. I think we're going to get about 125 S&P 500 companies reporting. And then by the end of this week, we're about done. We've gone through the heart of this earnings season. And when we come back in the second quarter, I want to talk a little bit more, in a little bit more detail, a little bit more color on this earnings season, which, you know, my headline in the newsletter, it was smashing. And if you didn't get the newsletter, you might want to check the target prices for the S&P 500. Are we there yet? You can go to my website at GundersonCapital.com to get free 2 weeks of the newsletter that I do every single weekend, which has that macro outlook. Is it too late to get in? I've been hearing that for 13 years. Is it too late to get in? Well, if you've been standing on the sideline for 13 years, you know, I don't know that you're ever going to get in. And it depends on what you get into. That's also very important. This will be a week talking about infrastructure, Now they're down to a $1 trillion package, okay, not the $3.5 trillion. There will be some winners there coming from that. It's not has not been passed yet. And we need to give a little update on COVID. I mean, there were some scares. We had a day a few weeks ago where the Dow was down over 800-900 points at one point in time. The fear was that there would be more shutdowns in the U.S., that the economy would take another hit. Where are we at with all of that as the Delta variant continues to spread? But it definitely does not seem as serious as the COVID-19 version of COVID. This is Bill Gunderson. A lot to talk about when we come back, especially on the macro picture. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, every 90 days we celebrate earnings season. It's been pretty good. I mean, the last several earnings seasons have been quite spectacular. This one has been smashing from my perspective, with 59% of the S&P 500 companies now having reported actual results, 88% have reported a positive EPS surprise, and 88% have reported a positive revenue surprise. Now, let's put that in perspective. When we began this quarter, we were expecting earnings growth for this quarter, okay, and this is, of course, up against the second quarter of last year, which was heavily impacted by the COVID. So the comparison here is fairly easy. Still, we were expecting about 60% growth when we began this earnings season, and now we're up to 85.1% with an exclamation point, okay? With all of those companies beating earnings, that has raised the forecast for the S&P 500 aggregate earnings. It's raised them for Q2, which is now being reported. It's raised them for Q3, which we're now in. And it's raised those expectations for Q4. It's also raised the expectations for this year, and it's also trickled into next year and the year after that. But at the same time, you've got a very expensive market with the forward PE at 22.1, somewhere in that area. The 10-year average is 16.2. The 5-year average is more in the 17 area. And you've got a S&P 500 PE ratio of 31 this week. But, you know, all said, it's the Fed, and the low interest rates are creating this multiple expansion. And obviously, interest rates are very critical going forward. We saw what happened when interest rates started to go up in February of this year, of 2021. You saw a massive hit to the high growth. I'm going to call them the Kathy Wood stocks, okay? Woodstock, right? Were you there? I wasn't there, but I've watched it many times. And there's news on Kathy Wood's ARK fund. It's very interesting. I'll talk about that here in a bit. But having said that, a rise in interest rates would make those multiples are very vulnerable at this level. With those multiples that high, they're very vulnerable to rising rates, which we don't have right now. The 10-year is at 1.22. The expectations for the end of the year are 1.75 now. That's the consensus estimate. So we got to watch interest rates very closely. Woo, do we got to watch interest rates very closely going forward, especially if you're invested in high multiple, high growth, high PE stocks, because they got whacked earlier this year when interest rates started going higher. Okay, the Kathy Woods news. This is really interesting. I think at some point this would be a tremendous investment. There's a new ETF, which it now that's not out yet. Okay, they filed a prospectus, which aims to short ARK Invest and Cathie Wood's biggest fund. Ouch. That's got to hurt. That would be like the Bill Gunderson short fund, okay? Every stock I feature on the air would be shorted and put into the Bill Gunderson short fund, okay? Well, you know, look, from my perspective, Cathie Wood is out on a limb. I mean, she is way out on a limb, okay? And what do I mean by that? She's way out there on a high PE, high speculation, high growth. Maybe they'll have earnings someday, the Robin Hoods of the world, the Coinbases of the world. And that limb is very, very, you know, bouncy, right? You go, the further you go out on a limb, the bouncier it is. And if that limb breaks, it almost did in February, she was down 37%. And I just see her continue to load up in this area of the market, okay? She's a one-trick pony. That's what she does. She buys companies that may, you know, it reminds me of 2000, the dot-com names, okay? I think she's kind of loading up on the dot-com names of today, which in my book, you know, I really wonder if Robinhood will ever be profitable. I really wonder if Pinterest will continue to grow their earnings. I really wonder if Coinbase and Bitcoin are really going to be big earnings growth giants going forward. Well, anyways, I'm not the only one, am I? Because now there's somebody filing for an ETF, SARK, S-A-R-K, S-A-R-K, watch for it. I would have picked SYNC as my symbol if I could have got it. As the name indicates, the ETF proposes to seek to track the inverse performance of the multi-billion dollar ARK Innovation ETF. I would just say over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, there's going to be some times when that SARK, I'm definitely putting that one in my tackle box, it will short Cathie Wood's ARK fund. I've never seen this before. I've never seen an inverse ETF that is designed to go the opposite way of an investor, an investment style, particular ETF like this before. But I see a good sense in this, really do. And it could be very profitable at some point in time. You could have cleaned up back in February. I saw that coming to that high PE area of the market. I stepped aside. And I parked in some value stocks for a while just to hang out, cashed in a lot of my profits from last year. And I might have been a little bit late getting back into the tech, but I just don't want to take a 37% hit, okay, like she did. That's not fun. And, you know, a guy who's been through a couple of bear markets, one in 2000 where I saw the NASDAQ go down 79%, then again in 08 when I saw the financial crisis take the S&P down 53%, I protect the downside. And I also have two versions of each one of my portfolios that I manage. I have one that I try to be more buy and hold and go through the thick and thin of the market. And the other version I have is a very tight leash on everything that I own. You know, my aim is to capture most of the upside and really limit that downside. And, you know, I've met a lot of investors over the years that are nervous. They have kind of scared money in the market, but they know they got to be in the market. Well, you got a money manager here that not only tries to take advantage of the market when it's going good, but I do my best also to manage the downside also, the overall downside. Okay, let's take a look here. Consumer sentiment comes in good. That's a good thing, all right? The consumer drives the economy. And they may not be shopping at Amazon like they used to be, but I'm seeing pretty good action today in Dillard's and in Deckers and some other retail stocks. Consumer sentiment remains good, reports the University of Michigan. Now, when we come back, we do have to talk about COVID real fast, real quick. Get it out of the way. and then move on to some individual stocks. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market's improved a little maybe here since we started. The Dow's up 200 now, and the NASDAQ is up almost 60 right now. Here's where I'm seeing the strength in the market as we begin a new week. It looks like the reflation stocks, which come and go, a couple of good-looking financial stocks today, BlackRock and a Carlyle Group. Those are both highly rated stocks in my BestStocksNowApp.com. The semiconductor, several semiconductor stocks look pretty good here. I haven't had a chance to look at them all, but Applied Materials, ASX out of Taiwan, and Broadcom, AVGO, all having a pretty good day today in the semiconductor space. The basic material stocks doing fairly well today. Albemarle, which is a lithium stock. Goodrich Petroleum, which is an oil stock. The medical sector has been on fire recently. Today I'm seeing good action in Bio-Rad, BIO, BioNTech, BNTX, which helps Pfizer with the vaccine, Edwards Life Sciences, EW. The automobile industry sector is probably the standout sector of the day right now, believe it or not, with Dana Corp and the ETF Drive, DRIV, which tracks the electric car. So I would have to say Tesla's probably having a good day. And I've noticed, too, that the Chinese electric vehicle stocks have definitely perked up. Li, NIO, NIO, and NIU, NIU, and a few others. But boy, do you have the faith in China to invest in China after what's happened here over the last a month or so with them bashing their own stocks? Okay, a PE ratio too high on the market. Well, there are several people weighing in on that. Don't try to time the market even with PE ratios this high, says Stephen Coe, portfolio manager at Starveen Capital. He told investors in a fund letter that attempting to time the market by piling up cash in anticipation of a coming correction. Now, that's a lesson I've learned during my over two decades as a professional money manager. You can't really anticipate a correction. You got to kind of wait till a correction begins. Otherwise, you're on the sidelines a lot, thinking that you're smart sitting on the sidelines. It's almost like a badge a lot of people wear. Oh, I'm on the sidelines in cash. Well, okay, fine. The S&P, the Dow's hitting a new all-time high today. Are you proud of being on the sidelines in cash right now? And then Guggenheim, Scott Minard, who always is very, his predictions are always, I guess he likes media or something. He always makes really wild predictions. He says the threat of new COVID lockdowns could provide the catalyst for a correction. Okay, so he's anticipating a correction. Well, they said over the weekend, I heard Fauci say that there is no plans for any lockdowns going forward. So he's watching for lockdowns, as Minard is. Guggenheim, he's at Guggenheim. Coe says don't anticipate, any. But we are at a high multiple. The thing you got to watch is interest rates, from my point of view, because any kind of rise, we're at 1.22. I look at interest rates several times a day. In fact, Scott Minard says it's time to sell stocks as new COVID lockdowns seem likely. Okay, well, he's going out on a limb. He's out on another limb on that market tree. You've got Kathy Woods out on one limb with totally the opposite she's all in with high PE, high growth, high momentum stocks with her ARKK fund and her other funds. And Minard is, on the other hand, saying time to sell stocks as new COVID lockdowns seem likely. And Fauci disagrees with him. So you know what? I think you have to be in the right stocks right now. And I think with the powerful earnings season that we went through, just are going through right now, I think that, to me, trumps everything. That's the most important thing that I've seen over the last several weeks. Senate unveils a sweeping $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill. Okay, and the usual names mentioned in Barron's over the weekend. You know, Barron's, are they behind the times? I think so. You be the. They like Caterpillar and Deere and Martin Marietta Materials, which is cement, and T-Rex, which makes cranes, and, you know, United Rentals and Vulcan, which also makes cement. That's how they would play it. Well, okay. You know what? I just look at it from a little different perspective, I guess. All right. Now, let's get into some individual stocks. Here's what Kathy Wood's buying. Maybe you're for her. Maybe you want to go out on the limb with her. She's buying more Robinhood, Hood, H-O-O-D. I talked at length about Robinhood last night, questioning whether or not, with the demographic that they're going after as investors to invest on their platform, is there room for big profits like a BlackRock or a Blackstone or Carlyle Group or some of these other, you know, big firms that go after high net worth folks, the Goldman Sachs of the world. Robinhood's going after low net worth, and they're really skinning a skinny cat. There's not much room for margin there, but nevertheless, Kathy Wood is buying Robinhood. She also picked up some more Pinterest over last Friday. Pinterest got slammed. You know, that's called averaging down. You're down on a stock, let's say 25%, and it gets hit for another 15%. Well, at down 25%, you add to your position to lower your cost basis, right? If you double your position, you've lowered your cost basis, and you're only down 12% overall. But if the stock keeps going down, you're in a bigger mess than when you started. Okay, now it's down 40%. And you buy more to once again lower your cost basis. I do not believe in averaging down. I believe in averaging up. You've got a good position that's really working out. Add to your good position. Do not add to your bad position. Now, I'm sure there are those out there that disagree with me. I think it's a terrible strategy. You're buying more of something bad. Gosh, those were bad peaches I bought at the supermarket. I'm going to go buy some more of those. No thanks. Anyway, she's buying more Pins, P-I-N-S, which is another company that I wonder about sustaining a good profitability growth track, okay? And, of course, there's people that have different opinions. Satori's Dan Niles says it's time to get back into Chinese stocks. Well, okay, I look at them every day. You've got Didi, which has been slammed. It's the Uber of China. You've got Alibaba, which is the Amazon of China. You've got JD.com, which is a giant. And you've got Tencent Holdings, which is a massive tech conglomerate. I don't see it. You know, I don't see getting back into those stocks. I've been out of them for quite some time. I think they lost a lot of credibility, but I have to admit, I do see the Chinese electric vehicle stocks on the move. In fact, one of them is really bolting higher today, BYD Group, which is BYDDF. And I'm also seeing Li, L-I, and NIO do pretty well here today. But, you know, you've just got to realize you're taking on valuation risk. You're taking on political risk in buying Chinese stocks. You're taking on regulatory risk. just all kinds of things, added risk that you don't need to take on if you don't have to. Okay, the metaverse. We got to talk about that. The internet revolution will not be televised. The shared space, the metaverse, continues to evolve from the intersection of the internet, virtual worlds, and new technologies. Who are some of the players right now? Roblox, Snap, Match, Facebook, I mentioned Snap, I would say maybe a Twitter, etc. And there is a new ETF that invests in the metaverse. And it holds 50 stocks of globally listed companies who are actively involved in the metaverse, which is all these different streaming and virtual reality and all of this social media converging. And the symbol of that ETF is Meta, M-E-T-A. All right, we'll come back with our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunnarsson.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, I like disruptive stocks. If you've listened to my show over the years, disrupting an industry is a good thing. Okay, you want to own the disruptor, and you don't want to own the disrupted. And you know, it's just the nature of progress. Okay. One invention comes along and it could really hurt an entire industry. Many industries have been disrupted big time over the years. I witnessed it in my industry back in the late 90s when the discount brokerage firm came along, and no longer did those Dean Witter and Morgan Stanley and Merrill Lynch brokers earn $100, $200 a trade on commissions. The whole trading business was commoditized, and that's the way it is. There's going to continue to be disruption. And one of the areas of the market, obviously the auto sector is being disrupted to some extent right now, but the financial sector definitely is being disrupted. FinTech is the name of that particular movement. And there's several fintech companies out there, and there's some dominant ones. Now, Square made a purchase over the weekend, which is kind of a buy now, pay later purchase, which PayPal doesn't have. Square agreed to buy Australia's Afterpay for $29 billion in stock to add a buy now, pay later capability to its payments platform. Well, obviously, you earn interest on that kind of a thing, and it becomes a new revenue stream for you. You don't have to have the money in your account like you do at PayPal to buy something. But PayPal does offer, cash loans, fairly high interest loans based on your activity on PayPal. But this is actually an Afterpay, which is buy now and pay later. I guess those easy monthly payments, all right? And Square is a total disruptor. I was on a boat with a fishing guy, and we got done fishing. It's hard to carry around $300-$400 in cash, you know, and he just said, give me your credit card or your debit card, and swiped it against his iPhone and Square, bang. He said, how much of a tip do you want to get? Give me. I said, nothing. Your fishing was lousy. No, I'm just kidding. And, it was all done right there with the Square app and my card. I didn't have to go to the ATM machine and all this and that. Square SQ is now a $122 billion market cap company. A few weeks ago, it was ranked at number 257 overall, in my BestStocksNowApp.com, BestStocksNowApp.com. And it's dropped a little bit in ranking, and it's having a huge day today on this news that came in yesterday. And Square also reported earnings yesterday. And Square beat by 35 cents per share. They missed on revenue a little bit. So did PayPal. PayPal missed a little bit on revenue last week. I actually like both of these stocks, Square and PayPal. A couple of big disruptors in the fintech, in the financial industry. And, of course, you've got your old school J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, you know, and all the rest of them. Your big money center banks, and then you've got your regional banks, the KeyCorps of the world, etc. But this is a little area that doesn't have any branches. You don't drive down Main Street in your neighborhood and see PayPal branches or Square branches. They keep their overhead low. Many, many people, they process a lot of transactions using PayPal and Square, and it's a very highly profitable business. It continues to grow. So we'll make a Square, SQ, our featured stock of the day. I think you're going to see a big jump in rank tomorrow after this big move in Square here today. The financial sector, you know, it's not the traditional financial sector. It's not the big money center banks, the regional banks. The financial sector is a good sector. The asset managers have been a very good place to be. This year, we've had really good success with Blackstone. We continue to own PayPal. Yes, it had a few, it had a little bit of a miss last week. That's going to happen. These high growth stocks, disruptive type stocks, I'm not out on a limb like Kathy Wood is. She's really out on a limb. Okay. And God bless her. I hope it works out for her. And, you know, the investors in those, ETFs do well over time, but there's going to be some, I just know one thing for sure, there's going to be some extreme volatility in that area of the market because it's so vulnerable right now to any kind of change, rise in interest rates, which scares me going out on a limb like that. You come back in on the limb a little bit and you get into the, you know, the PayPals and the Squares and the Apples and the Amazons, et cetera. I feel a little bit safer right now with that interest rate picture out there being in those kinds of stocks instead of out there on that limb. Now, I was out there on that limb last year. You had to be. And we did very well. And then we started moving in closer to the trunk of the tree back in February of this year. And I'm glad I did, okay? And I don't have any intention anytime soon of going back out on that limb. Now, if you didn't get the newsletter last week, boy, take a look at the macro outlook. Take a look at some of the new finds that we bought last week, especially in the ultra-growth small-cap, mid-cap portfolio. We're pretty excited there. I think that's going to be a much better area of the market going forward. It's been pretty pretty squishy here recently, but there's some good value there, and we found some good small-mid-cap stocks, I hope. Last week. Those are in this week's newsletter. You can go to my website at GundersonCapital.com. And then, of course, it's always, well, who am I going to have manage my portfolio for me? You can do it yourself. It's very time-consuming. It can get away from you, you know, just like a garden. All of a sudden you go out there, it's full of weeds. You got things that aren't getting watered. You got things that you should have picked a long time ago. You need things to thin out things and replace things and plant new things, get new growth in there. Well, it's the same as a portfolio. Or you can find a good portfolio manager that believes in being active and not just sitting there being passive, sitting on his thumbs, you know, moving things every few months, just a little bit here or a little bit there. No, the world changes too quickly. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.